It's on the desk. If you don't have this verse memorized, you should, right? I don't think it's that hard. And it should be pretty familiar, isn't it? Where it talks about in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let me read you a few things here. A little fourth grader who stood up to give a report concerning the origins of Thanksgiving holiday in a public school gave this report, and here's how he began. The pilgrims came here seeking freedom of you know what. When they landed, they gave thanks to you know who. And because of them, we can worship each Sunday you know where. Okay. Another writer says, be grateful. Be grateful for automatic dishwashers. They make it possible to get out of the kitchen before the family comes in for their after-dinner snacks. Be grateful for husbands who attack small repair jobs around the house. They usually make them big enough to call in the professionals. Be grateful for the bathtub, the one place the family allows mom some time to herself. Be grateful for children who put away their things and clean up after themselves. They're such a joy you hate to see them go home to their own parents. Be grateful for gardening. It's a relief to deal with dirt outside the house for a change. Be grateful for teenagers. They give parents an opportunity to learn a second language. And then be grateful for smoke alarms. They let you know when the turkey's done. Okay. Don't we live in a thankless society? You just look at Black Friday. I mean, all the news reports. At least two people were killed, right? At least. How many people were beat up? Okay. And all these people, I saw this picture of this big old crowd, and there was these two TV boxes of flat screen TVs, and they were all fighting each other to get them. Okay. You know, we live in a society that thinks we deserve everything we want. And, you know, and it's so ungrateful. In fact, that's what the scripture talks about tied in 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2. This also know, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Did you catch that? Unthankful. There was a hippie couple. They strolled down the street. The fellow said to the traveling companion, I am going over to pick up my unemployment check. Then I'll drop in at the university to see what's holding up my check for my federal education grant. After that, I'll pick up our food stamps. Meanwhile, you go over to the free clinic to check your tests, pick up my new glasses at the health center, then go to the welfare department and apply for an increase in our eligibility limit. Then I'll meet you at 5 o'clock at the federal building for the mass demonstration against the rotten establishment. In the book of Psalms, 13, 5, and 6. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Psalm 92, 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. And in reality, aren't there a lot of things you and I can be thankful for? I tell you one thing. I'm thankful that God has allowed me to live in the United States. Okay. I'm glad he hasn't allowed me to live in China or Iran or Iraq, but in the United States. And I'm not one of those people who said that, you know, if this person get elected, I'm moving out of this country. I'm staying here. Now, isn't he being good to us in, you know, in our clothing, our jobs, our health, our Bibles, our church to fellowship in? Has he not been very good in so many ways that sometimes we just forget? There's a legend of a man who found the barn where Satan kept his seeds ready to be sown in the human heart. And on finding the seeds of discouragement more numerous than others, he learned that those seeds could be made to grow almost anywhere. When Satan was questioned, he reluctantly admitted there was one place in which he could never get them to thrive. "And where is that?" asked the man. And Satan replied, "In the heart of a grateful man." And so today, as we look at this verse, we're going to take it apart and then apply it. We want to look at this thought. This thought. Cultivate a thankful heart. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for being so good. I know I didn't say that things are great all the time and that, you know, good times are always here. Because many of us, if not all of us, have suffered to some degree and are suffering and will suffer. Yet, Father, you're so good. No matter what's going on, you're good. And we can be thankful. And I pray, Father, that we who call upon the name of Jesus would be the most thankful people around. Because we live in a society that's so self-centered, so discontent, and so unthankful, that they need to see people who are thankful for something, for you. And I pray, Lord, help us to be that way. And help us not to, you know, help us not to be those who are ungrateful. And help us to express our thanksgiving with our lives, with our smiles, with our faces, with our words. And you be honored, we ask. In your son's name, amen. So, let's look at this verse. First of all, a thankful heart is commanded. I had the verse translated this way. In everything, give thanks. In everything, keep on giving thanks. For this is God's will in Christ Jesus for you. Now, notice a couple things, first of all. The command to be thankful. Paul writes, keep on giving thanks. The word translated giving thanks speaks of gratitude, and so to be thankful. Like I mentioned earlier, this word, like in the Corinthian passage, sounds like the word Eucharist, which means good gift or good grace. And so we have this thanksgiving. And so he says, keep on giving thanks. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ was thankful. For example, in Mark 8:6. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves. And what did he do next? And he gave thanks. You remember what Jesus said about himself? He says, the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay down his head. Right? And he didn't carry around a wallet filled with bills. He lived on what people gave him. Because he wasn't independently wealthy. And so he directly depended upon God to give him what he needed. And so when these loaves, remember, they wanted to feed these 5,000 men, and they didn't have the resources. And someone had these seven little rolls. That's all they had. But guess what he did? He gave thanks for them. In Mark 14:23, and he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank it. Now, in thinking of his death, drinking the cup spoke of, figuratively, of dying. He was in advance giving thanks to the Father for his upcoming crucifixion. The cleansed leper in Luke 17. And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And then Luke says, and he was a Samaritan. You know, he realized he didn't deserve this from this Jew, but he was cleansed. And his response was what? Thanksgiving. How about Paul and his thanksgiving? Paul's thankful for faithful people, Romans 1:8. "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." He was thankful to those who protected and helped him, Romans 16:4, "who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom I give thanks, but also to the churches of the Gentiles." He is thankful for his brothers in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:4, "I thank my God always on your behalf." Ephesians 1:16, "Do not cease giving thanks for you. Philippians 1:3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. He's thankful to God for his working in his heart. Colossians 1:2, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And then Paul gives thanks as a normal part of his living. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, when Paul wrote in our text here, keep on giving thanks, this is a command for the Christian life. It is an obligation. It is not one of many options. That is, give thanks, no matter what you're going through. He says, keep on giving thanks. That speaks of a continuous attitude of thankfulness. It is a characteristic of living the Christian life. In fact, an unthankful Christian is a paradox. You do realize that. That it is a contradiction in terms. That we would call ourselves Christians and be ungrateful. Something's wrong. So there is a command. Keep on giving thanks. A second thought is this. The circumstances to be thankful. What does our text say? In verse 18, in everything, keep on giving thanks. In all things. In Ephesians 5:20, Paul wrote, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What Paul is saying is this, and it's hard for us to believe and accept this. No circumstance can be so bad that you cannot give thanks to God. That's what he's telling us. For example, the apostles in Acts 5, and to him they agreed, and when they all called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple, in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. They were thankful that they were suffering for Jesus' sake. Paul and Silas in Acts 16, when they were in the prison, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Even when we suffer, Paul, the writer of the Hebrews, had these in Hebrews 13 through 15. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, unto him as Jesus, bearing his reproach. For we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But what the writer here is telling us is that we are to be identified with Christ in his suffering. Christ was kicked out of Jerusalem, and he was crucified on Mount Calvary, and all the shame that was associated with it. And we are to identify ourselves that way. And when we suffer for Jesus, we are to give thanks. But you may say, you don't know my circumstances. Guess what? I don't know all your circumstances. I don't. You may say, you don't know what I have to put up with or who I have to put up with. And you don't know what I have suffered. That may be the case. But there is one who does know. And what does he tell you? In all things, keep on giving thanks. In every circumstance that you find yourself, you need to find something to be thankful about. For example, You know, it was a little bit of a shock when I got the report on the biopsy on my leg that it was skin cancer, okay? But as I think about it, and, you know, and I'm thankful now that's 2 weeks after the operation that things are healing. I'm thankful that someone discovered it, okay, because it could be much worse. I'm thankful I had a good doctor that knew how to deal with it, and he cut it out and he stitched it up, and, you know, and I'm just thankful. I'm thankful that God has provided means to help deal with that. You know, and there are all sorts of things you can be thankful about. And so when you're thankful, that means you do not focus on the unfairness, the hurt, and the disappointment or the sin, but you focus upon the grace, mercy, love, compassion, and forgiveness of your God. Matthew Henry, the famous Bible scholar, if you've ever seen his commentary on the Bible, it's very, very verbose, okay? I mean, it is extensive. He was once accosted by thieves and who robbed him of his purse. He wrote these words in his diary: "Let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. Second, though they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because though they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not someone else." Okay? And so you thank the Lord. In fact, when you thank God in your troubles and in your adversities, burdens are changed into blessings. You see them differently. And that's one of the reasons why God tells us, in everything, keep on giving thanks. Let's continue on. Second thought is this: a thankful heart is God's will, for this is the will of God. What is God's will for you? When you start thinking about it, what is God's will for you? Okay, well, there's several things. It is God's will for you and me to be pure. For example, in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification," that means holiness, set apart to God, "that you should abstain from fornication," or from sexual immorality. That's purity. "It is God's will for you and me to do good," 1 Peter 2:15. "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." This is the will of God in well-doing, in doing good. It is God's will for us to do good. "It is God's will for you and I to suffer from time to time, especially for living right," 1 Peter 3:17. "For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." It is God's will for us to suffer for him from time to time. And in our text, that we have always rejoicing, always having an attitude of prayer, and then always giving thanks. It is God's will that you be thankful, even if you don't want to, and even if you don't feel like it. He is not saying, you know, "I just beg you, and if you really want to, and if you really feel like it, be thankful." No, he is saying, "I am commanding you, this is my will, in every circumstance, be thankful." It is always right to be thankful to God. One writer, pastor out in Chicago, he wrote these words: "You can learn to give thanks even if you don't feel particularly thankful. If God gives a command, he expects obedience, whether you are in the mood or not. Thankfulness, like forgiveness, is not an emotion. Thankfulness is an intelligent response of gratitude to God." See, well, a lot of these people, when they tell you to be thankful, they're talking about emotion. Are they not? That's what they're talking about. You know, it's not an emotion. It is a choice you make and I make to express gratitude to God. It is God's will that you find joy and thanksgiving in Jesus Christ in every condition of life. Notice a couple things. If you can't be thankful for what you receive, at least be thankful for what you have escaped. That's a thought, right? Yeah. Another thought. If you are not thankful for what you got, it will be doubtful that you'll ever be thankful for what you will get. And there's all these people, you know, they're not thankful. We're not thankful. You may not know much about what God's will is for you, but it's clear here, right? It is very clear in our text. Someone says, disregard your complaints and discover your gratitude. Release your troubles to God and restate your blessings. So there is a God's will for you, okay? Okay, it's God's desire that you be thankful. And then another thought is this. There is a thankful heart because of Jesus. Our text says in verse 18, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. A thankful heart because of Jesus. Someone wrote these words, a true Christian is a man who never for a moment forgets what God has done for him in Christ, whose whole attitude and whole activity have their root in the sentiment of gratitude. And so this thankful heart because of Jesus is a thankful heart for who Jesus is. Who is this Jesus, this Christ Jesus that Paul's writing about? Well, first of all, he is sovereign. He is God over all. There is no other God but Jesus Christ. He is the God who is in control of all things. He is the victorious God. But not only is Jesus sovereign, he is loving. He loves you with an everlasting love. It's eternal and unconditional. And that's demonstrated in the cross. One of the major reasons he died for you and for me is why? He loved us. He loves us. He will love us and continue to love us for eternity. And so that's a thankful heart for who he is. He is the God who loves you. A thankful heart for what he has done. Notice what Jesus has done. He made you. So if you have any complaints about your height, your weight, or your, you know, your good looks or bad looks or whatever, guess who you can blame? Jesus. And I dare you to go to his face and blame him for how he made you. Okay? He made you. He died for you on the cross. He washed you in his own blood. He adopted you into his family. He accepted you as you were. He forgave you all your sin. I don't know how you felt when you got saved, but I remembered how cleansed and how grateful that the burden of sin was lifted off of me when I met Jesus Christ as Savior. A gratefulness. A thankful heart for what he has done. A thankful heart for what he is doing. Jesus is living for you today. Because he is alive, you can live, and you will live. He is interceding in your behalf today. He is protecting you by his own almighty power. Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He's preparing a place for you in heaven. By the way, that place is bigger. Is bigger and better than the 800, was that 40-room mansion or whatever it was? Okay. Yes, Gene was telling about someone owning a 40-room mansion with 800 acres. Well, I'll tell you what, the place in heaven is going to be much better than that. Okay? He's preparing a place for you in heaven. George Matheson wrote these words, my God, I have never thanked thee for my thorn. I have thanked thee for 1,000 times for my roses, but never once for my thorn. I've been looking forward to a world where I shall get compensation for my cross as itself a present glory. Teach me the glory of my cross. Teach me the value of my thorn. Show me that I have climbed to thee by the path of pain. show me that my tears have made my rainbow. A thankful heart for what Jesus is doing, and a thankful heart for what he will do. Jesus says, I'm coming back for you. He will remove you from the presence of sin someday. Won't that be glorious to finally live somewhere where you're not going to be tempted to sin and you won't be able to sin? He will give you an eternal home in glory. He will wipe away all your tears. He will give you a new body that will never ache, never wear out, and will never die. Man, that's going to be great. And he will let you dwell in his presence forever and ever and ever and ever. And all of this because you have accepted Jesus as your Savior. And in response, what can you be but what? Thankful. Notice the end of the verse. Concerning you. Now, that's a little bit, maybe a little hard to translate or understand. But if you translate it this way, for you. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so that is saying this. It's not that other person, he needs to be thankful. It's I need to be thankful. In this case, I have to be focused on myself. I have to be thankful. You and I had the personal responsibility to obey this command. And everything, keep on giving thanks. And if that's a command, guess what? We are going to be held accountable, are we not? So quit being a sourpuss, right? Okay. Anyway, let me keep on going here. Okay? So are you a thankful to God person? Notice what Abraham Lincoln's proclamation for a National Day of Fasting, Humiliation, and Prayer, given on April 30th, 1863. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved the many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power, as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined, in the deceitfulness of our hearts, that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. Even at that time, Abraham realized the country was moving in the realm of ungratefulness to the God that created our country. Are you in a circumstance where you find that you are not being thankful? Well, a man was being chased by a ferocious tiger. He ran until he came to a sheer cliff. As the tiger came bearing down on him, he grabbed a rope hanging over the cliff and climbed down out of the tiger's reach. The man looked up and saw the tiger leering at him, waiting to devour him. Then he looked below the cliff. There was a deadly drop to the rocks of over 500 feet. Then he looked up and saw two mice beginning to chew the rope. What should he do? The tiger above, the rocks below, the rope about to break. Just then he saw a bright red strawberry growing out of the side of the cliff. He stretched out his hand, plucked the strawberry, and plopped it into his mouth. The juices of the strawberry were so sweet that he ate that as he ate, he couldn't contain himself. Delicious. That's the best strawberry I had ever tasted. Had the man been preoccupied with the tiger, the past, or preoccupied with the future, the rocks below, he would never have been thankful for the strawberry, which we could call the gift of the present. You see, that's what changes our perspective on our circumstances. When we look to God and are thankful. How do I know I'm not a thankful person? Well, am I a complainer? If all I do is complain about this and I complain about that and whatever, I'm not thankful. How else do I know if I'm an unthankful person? Well, I am depressed about my circumstances. See, when my circumstances get me depressed, what am I focused upon? Well, I guarantee you one thing I'm not focused upon the God who's above my circumstances. How do I know when I'm not a thankful person? When I'm not a content person. Contented. I want more. I want this. I want that. I want whatever. I just don't have enough. I'm not thankful. How else do I know if I'm not a thankful person? If I haven't thanked God already today. Have you? If you haven't, you're not a thankful person. So what's the solution? Paul tells us, in everything, keep on giving thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So my challenge for the week is this. I think I have it there. Oops. It's not there. My challenge for the week is this. Express to God your thanksgiving for what he has done and for who he is. This week, express your thanksgiving to God for what he has done and for who he is. Please stand with me. Take your hymnals, please, and turn to hymn number 429. 429. Sing the first stanza of Take Time to Be Holy.